نعم، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. طيب I don't know which last question you answer. طيب just before we take any more questions, I would like here to mention something inshallah very beneficial for you inshallah. In regard to believing in the angels and believing in the books as well. The ulama say that there is yani a way of how to get benefit of the belief in the angels as well as in the in the books. Or how to yani get the advantage of believing, or how to believe, how to increase your belief in these things. As I said before, in regard to the believing the angels, or how to yani believe in the angels. Now, first of all, by believing and admitting their existence. Now, so first is believe in them and their existence. Second, by believing that they are in multiplicity number. We don't know what it is, but Allah Ta'ala knows. As He subhanahu wa ta'ala said, as in Surah Al-Muddathir, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ. And none knows the soldiers of your Lord save He Himself. Allah Ta'ala knows. Right? And also by the dignity of the angels, their high standing and nobility, and the sight of their Lord should also be accorded necessary recognition. As Allah Ta'ala said as in Surah Al-Anbiya, Ayah 26 and 27, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَانُ وَلَدًا سُبْحَانَهُ بَلْ عِبَادٌ مُكْرَمُونَ لَا يَسْبِقُونَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ وَهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِ يَعْمَلُونَ. And they say, the Most Merciful Allah has taken unto Himself a son. Glorified is He. Rather, they are but honored servants of His. They do not utter a word until He has spoken, and on His order they act. And Allah Ta'ala showed their dignity by naming them Kiraman Katibin, as in Surah Abbas, Ayah 15. Allah Ta'ala said, بأيدي سفرة كرام بررة, and the hands of scribes, angels, honorable, righteous. Now, and Allah Ta'ala mentioned them in many verses of the Quran, showing their dignity. Now, and also from the ways of how to believe in the angels, or how to get advantage of believing in the angels, is that one should believe that the angels have a hierarchy in terms of their positions and the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as established in the religious text of Allah Ta'ala in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hajj, Ayah 75, Allahu yastafi من الملائكة رسلا ومن الناس إن الله سميع بصير. Allah chooses from the angels, messengers, and from mankind. Allah is indeed all hearing, all seeing. And Allah Ta'ala said also in Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 172, لن يستنكف المسيح أن يكون عبدا لله ولا الملائكة المقربون. Never would the Messiah disdain to be a servant of Allah, nor will the angels who are near to him, to Allah. So Allah Ta'ala told us that these angels are always worshipping Allah. With all this massive creation they have, but they still are obedient to their Lord. Naam. And also from the ways of increasing the iman and getting benefits of the iman in the angels is that we must love them. We must love the angels with all patronage and advocacy, and should not perceive them as enemies. Allah Ta'ala said in Surah At-Tawbah, Ayah 71, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. The believers, males and females, are supporters, are awliya of one another. Now, and the angels from the mu'minun, and the angels from the mu'minun. Naam. And we must love them because they never disobey Allah. They never disobey Allah, as Allah Ta'ala said in Surah At-Tahrim, Ayah 6, لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. They, the angels, resist not any command from Allah, but do that which they are ordered. And also we love them because they always pray to Allah to send blessings upon the believers, upon us. As Allah Ta'ala said, as in Surah Al-Ahzab, Ayah 43, هو الذي يصلي عليكم وملائكته ليخرجكم من الظلمات إلى النور. He, Allah Ta'ala, it is who sends His blessings on you, and so do His angels, that they pray to Allah to send His blessings unto us, that He may bring you forth from darkness unto light. And also from the ways of how to get an advantage of believing in the angels, how to increase your belief in the angels, is by believing that angels are mere creatures of Allah and have no say neither in the creation of the universe nor in the running of its affairs. They are but forces of Allah Almighty who act on His orders. They act on Allah's orders only. The disposition of all affairs is totally in the hands of Allah. No one shares any position thereof with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moreover, it is unlawful to devote any act of worship to the angels rather than their Creator, who has also created all other creatures and has neither a partner nor a peer in His Lordship, divinity, names and attributes, should alone be worshipped. Allah Ta'ala said, as in Surah Al-Imran, Ayah 80, وَلَا يَأْمُرَكُمْ أَن تَتَّخِذُوا الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ أَرْبَابًا أَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْكُفْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ أَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Neither could he, a prophet of Allah, command you to take the angels and prophets as lords. Would he order you to disbelieve after you had been Muslims? So by these ways, you guys, brothers and sisters, can increase your iman in the angels. And also, we're going to present some ways of how to increase your iman in the books. And how to get the advantage of believing in the books that Allah Ta'ala has sent down. As the first is believing conclusively that the books were all sent down from Allah Ta'ala, that they are really His words. You have to believe in that, that they are really His words, not that of anyone else, and that He Allah the Almighty actually uttered their contents as exactly as He willed and in a manner He has chosen. Allah Ta'ala said, as in ayah number 2 and 3 of Ali Imran, الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم نزل عليك الكتاب بالحق مصدقا لما بين يديه وأنزل التوراة والإنجيل من قبل هدى للناس وأنزل الفرقان إن الذين كفروا بآيات الله لهم عذاب شديد والله عزيز الانتقام. Allah, none has the right to be worshipped but He, the ever living, who sustains and protects all that exists. He has revealed to you, O Muhammad, the book in truth, confirming that which was revealed before it, and He revealed the Torah and the Injil before as guidance for mankind, and He sent down the criterion, which is the Quran. Indeed, those who disbelieve in the revelation of Allah shall have a severe punishment, and Allah is Almighty, owner of retribution. So this is one way of increasing the iman in the angels and getting the advantage of believing in the angels, the books of Allah, and also believing that the books have invited people to worship Allah alone. That is the purpose of sending these books. That is the purpose of sending all these prophets. That's the purpose of sending Jibreel with the revelation. It's only to worship Allah alone. As Allah Ta'ala said as in Surah Ali Imran, ayah 79, مَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ أَن يُؤْتِيَهُ اللَّهُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحُكْمَ وَالنُّبُوَّةِ ثُمَّ يَقُولَ لِلنَّاسِ كُنُوا عِبَادًا لِي مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. It is not for a human being that Allah should give him the book, knowledge of the law of religion and prophethood, and then he would say to the people, be servants to me rather than to Allah. And he, Allah Ta'ala, said as in Ali Imran, ayah 3 and 4, نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدِيهِ وَأَنزَلَ التَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلَ مِنْ قَبْلُ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ. He has revealed to you, O Muhammad, the book in truth, confirming that which was revealed before it, and He revealed the Torah and Injil before as guidance for mankind. So you believe that Allah Ta'ala sent down all these books. And the third method of believing in the books is believing that the books of Allah confirm one another. And as such, no contradiction exists between them. Allah Ta'ala has said, as in Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah 48, وَأَنْزَلَ إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَمُهَيْمِنًا عَلَيْهِ. And we have sent down to you, O Muhammad, the book in truth, confirming that which preceded it of the scripture, and as a watcher over it. and also by believing in those books of Allah which He has specifically named, as we said in yesterday's session, the five that He subhanahu wa ta'ala told us as the Torah to Musa, the Injil to Isa, the Zabur to Dawood, and the Suhuf to Ibrahim and Musa, and the Quran to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also by believing strongly that the glorious Quran has abrogated all other books or sculptures before it, which Allah previously revealed to His messengers. It is not allowed after the Quran was descended and revealed that anyone of humankind and jinn, people of the past, sculpture and others alike should worship Allah or seek justice through something different from this Quran, proves in the book of Allah and Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as what Allah Ta'ala said as in Surah Al-Furqan, Ayah 1, تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. Blessed be He, Allah, who sent down the criterion, the Quran, upon His servant, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that He may be to the world a warner. And also Allah Ta'ala said as in Surah Al-Ma'idah ayah 15 and 16, يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولُنَا يُبَيِّنُ لَكُمْ كَثِيرًا مِمَّا كُنْتُمْ تُخْفُونَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَيَعْفُو عَنْ كَثِيرٍ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ يَهْدِي بِهِ اللَّهُ مَنْ اتَّبَعَ رِضْوَانَهُ سُبُلَ السَّلَامِ وَيُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَيَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. All people of the book, of the scripture, Yahud and Christians, there has come to you our messenger, making clear to you much of what you used to hide of the book and overlooking much. There has come to you from Allah a light and a clear book, by which Allah guides those who peruse. By which Allah guides those who pursue His pleasure to the ways of peace, and brings them out of the darkness into the light by His permission, and guides them to a straight path. So Allah Ta'ala told us how to believe in the books as we hear now, and by these understandings we can strengthen our belief in the pillars of faith. And here I ended up all what I wanted to say about these two pillars, the angels and the books. Our next lesson, inshallah, next Saturday, going to be about believing and the messengers, and maybe we'll need Saturday and Sunday for this topic. Naam. And after that we're gonna have a quiz about the three pillars, inshallah ta'ala, because once we start doing the Qadr itself, we're gonna have a separate quiz for it, and then the last day we're gonna have a separate quiz for it, inshallah ta'ala, because we're going to speak a lot about them. And here I ended up my presentation of these two pillars and explanation of them, and now we may take some questions inshallah. Naam. Beginning with music, you can send only one question now, please. Alright, let's take from Fast Talk now. Lemonhead, go ahead, please. As we said, brothers and sisters, you prepare your question in the section where it should be and make it ready just to send. But don't send it until we tell you. Lemonhead says, in the Quran it seems, in Surah Al-Kahf, Surah 18, Ayah 23 and 24. It says to say inshallah before doing anything. If you forget to say, my Lord has led me to better way. Should we say this if we forget to say inshallah? ولا تقولن لشيء إني فاعل ذلك غدا إلا أن يشاء الله. واذكر ربك إذا نسيت وقل عسى أن يهديني ربي إلى وقل عسى أن يهديني ربي لأقرأ من هذا رشدا. No, I don't see that, and I never hear that one who forget to say inshallah, يعني say that. وقل عسى أن يهديني ربي لأقرأ من هذا رشدا. But the meaning of it is that you don't say I'm going to do this tomorrow as if it is, يعني confirmed, definite. Except with inshallah. Except with inshallah. Even if you are yani deciding to do it, but you still you don't know what will happen. So you just say, inshallah, I'll do this tomorrow, inshallah, or I'll do this inshallah. Wallahu a'lam. Right. A question from Paltok, from Wizik says, Salih says, Ya Sheikh, if one is sick, can he slaughter and give sadaqah for his recovery? Yes, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "Dawu marzakum bil sadaqah." He صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "Dawu marzakum bil sadaqah." Cure your ill people, your sick people, with sadaqah, meaning by giving out sadaqah. Wallahu a'lam. Okay, a question from Pal Talk on Julaybib says, Assalamu alaikum wa shalaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I swear by Allah not to return to my parents' home whilst I was very angry after my father said something evil about Islam. But I returned and apologized. Do I have to do anything for breaking this oath? Yes, you have to feed 10 poor people. You have to feed
10 poor people. And this by giving each one of them and this is by giving each one of them 1.5 kg of rice uncooked, or one meal that is enough for one person. Wallahu a'lam. From Wizik, we have a question from Qawari. Says, what about making dua in sujood nafil salah? Even all the salah, you don't make sujood in Arab, in other than Arabic. You don't make any dua in any language other than Arabic. Arabic, wallahu a'lam. And by the way, the hadith of Dawa Mardakum Bissadaqah is authenticated by Imam Albani in Sahih al-Jami'. We take question from Paltok. Om Abdullah says, Ya Sheikh, for the sisters in the West, what is best for them? A male Muslim doctor or female disbeliever doctor, as there is a lack of female Muslim doctors here? La, if it is between male and female, go to female, even if she is non-Muslim and the male is Muslim. Female is better. Female is better. Naam. From Wizik we have a question from Hafsa. Says, a person who converted to Islam from a Christianity family or from a Christian family, should they do an aqiqah for themselves as an adult, as the Prophet did for himself, or was this just something for him? First of all, I really don't know if this is authentic. I don't know really if Rasulullah done it for himself. But what I know is that the majority of the Sahaba were they converted from Jahiliyyah to Islam, from Kufr to Islam. And I didn't hear in any case that Rasulullah commanded any of them to go and do aqiqah for himself. Plus that the ulama say that the aqiqah is the responsibility of the father. Even Muslim children who their fathers did not do aqiqah for them, there are different opinions from the scholars. Some of them say, if your father did not do aqiqah, even if you are a Muslim, you do it, you still do it. But I hear our Sheikh Abbad, hafizahu Allah ta'ala, was asked about this, and he said, no, the aqiqah is the responsibility of the father. If he doesn't do it, it's up on his shoulders. Wallahu a'lam. From Paltok, learning Muslim, says, Hayyak Allah, Ameen wa Iyak. I sent the question, but I decided to just post it here. Up to you. What is the ruling of accepting those jobs that would require one to go to the house of a person of Allah of Ahlul Bidah, for example, babysitting? No, you're not allowed to go to the people of Ahlul Bidah if it is truly Ahlul Bidah. You don't help them to do their bidah. If it is that you go hold the babies for them so that they go and do their bidah. But if it is kind of they are sick or they go to work It is permissible. It is permissible. This is not cooperating on the evil. This is dunya. Otherwise, what are you going to do with the kuffar if you are working with the kuffar or yani, like these things? Wallahu a'lam. As a conclusion, if it is not that you free them to go and do their bid'ah, then it is permissible. But not for their bid'ah. Abdullah says, please. Okay, no. Ayman says, Barakallahu fiqh shaykh, ameen wa iyaakum. May Allah Ta'ala bless you, ameen. Ameen wa iyaakum. When in sujood, can you make dua found in the Quran, for example, Rabbi zidni ilma? Yes, but not in recitation. And you don't yani, say it as if it is a Quran, but as it is a dua. Wallahu a'lam. Alright. Here on Wizik, Arnaud says, the person became a father and he wants to slaughter a sheep for sake of Allah. However, the father is with his baby in same place, but family is in another country. So can his family slaughter instead? Yes. This is not udhiya. Aqiqah can be slaughtered anywhere, no problem. Aqiqah is to be yani, slaughtered anywhere. Udhiya is to be slaughtered where the person is. Wallahu a'lam. Just seek ilm, says here, may Allah reward you for giving from your ta'ameen, ameen, jazakallah khair. Says, my wife bought some socks to wear on her feet, but these socks cover the toes separately. So all the toes are covered separately, like gloves, like a glove does, the fingers. Okay, are they okay for her to wear outside with sandals that show them? Of course, because she's allowed to wear sandals without them, even with bare toes, she's allowed. Allahu A'lam. Because I never know that the Prophet ﷺ commanded the woman to wear at his time to wear socks, for example, and not to come out without socks. But only in the Salah. In the Salah she has to cover all the feet. Allahu A'lam. Okay, it seems that these are all. And we have done it today just by time. Just by the time today, mashallah. Ah, there is a question from Peter Paul Junan, or what is it? Assalamu alaikum. Alaikum salam. Can angels one second, please. The writing is so can you please just write in big. Okay. Can angels incarnate on earth? If you mean to say that incarnate, each others or what? Do you mean each other or the believers or what?
Okay. I mean like visiting us in human body. Could be, but visiting you as what?
Yani they don't come and visit you as, yani you don't know them, you don't
know, but yani it was said in the hadith that there was a man who left his town going to another town visiting a friend of his there who he loves only for the sake of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala sent him an angel in a form of man. And he met him in the middle of the way and he asked him, where are you going to? He said, I'm going to this town. He said, for what? He said, I'm going to visit a brother of mine for the sake of Allah. He said, then Allah Ta'ala have sent me to you, I'm an angel, to give you the salam from Allah Ta'ala. So we know now that they can't come, but who can recognize them? If this man, the angel, didn't tell him that he's an angel sent by Allah, he would not know. So I cannot know if I see an angel now in form of man, I think he's a man. I cannot know. None. But it wasn't told to us. And if this would happen, it would have happened with the Sahaba. But I never hear that it happened to any of the Sahaba, Allahu A'lam. And maybe this would be the last question. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمُ وَبَارَكُ على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه السلام عليكم الله المستعان. طيب, here is one another question. This last question please from Fatima. Okay, وياك. And you too. السلام عليكم. عليكم السلام. Are there more than 99 names of Allah? Yes. Yes, there are. As in the hadith. But we don't know them, huh? We don't know them because, as in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ taught us the supplication, the dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi kulli ismin huwa lak, sammayta bi nafsak, aw 'allamta ahadan min khalqika, aw anzalta bi kutubika, aw istatharta bi fi 'ilmi al-ghaybi 'indak. So, in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ taught us to ask Allah by His names, that which He have taught them to some of His creation, or have included them in some of His books, or have saved them by His own and the unseen. So there are names that we don't know them, but Allah Ta'ala knows them. Naam, wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Wa sallallahu sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala sahbihi. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.